Okay, I guess we will start our workshop. And so today we have something interesting, immersive learning technology. And with that, I'm going to introduce Dr. Rigo Lekonis, who will kick off the workshop.
Thank you, Dr. Robacho.
Thank you, Dr. Robacho. Trustees, welcome back. Happy New Year. Great spring semester. So you are here today for a treat. What you are going to see today is just an overview of the integration of virtual reality to what we do, enhanced reality to the work that we do. And you might have heard these terms before, virtual versus enhanced, and the main difference is that virtual, if you see that picture over there, the Oculus, or the goggles as I call them, they are obscure. So virtual is that everything that you see in the Oculus is generated by a computer. Enhanced reality, on the other hand, you will have a transparent Oculus, and it will be a combination of a reality versus something else generated by the computer. Today you're going to see enhanced reality. And to introduce you to the team, to the topic about enhanced reality, I would like to call on the podium our Associate Vice President for the American College of Workforce and Continuing Education, Dr. Cheryl Wins. She and her team has prepared a wonderful presentation plus a demo that each of you will get to play with the machines, if you will. Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you. Good afternoon, all. Following my voice, you'll
can,
hear
can
the
you
voice
be on
of,
the mic, please?
Sorry. Good afternoon, all. Following my voice, you'll hear the voice of Stephen Grau. He'll present. He's our assistant chair of the School of Workforce Welding Technology. To give you a framework of what we do on the ground with welding. And then Dr. Nadia Flanagan, who's the coordinator of the Job Growth 2.5 Expansion Grant, will move us into the virtual world with her conversation. And then Dr. Denny Henson, who is the coordinator for the Welding Simulation Lab for the Job Growth 2.5, will invite you to a demonstration of what our students experience in the virtual world. But first, I'd like to piggyback on what Dr. Lekonis was talking about, and Dr. Lebasso as well, talking about the whole idea of immersive learning. And just to kind of give some context to the experience today, immersive learning is an experiential training methodology that uses both virtual and augmented realities. And as Dr. Lekonis referenced, it simulates a real-world scenario. And for us, what we emphasize is that it allows us to train in a safe and an engaging environment. It combines a sense of presence with advanced learning theory. A lot of data drives the virtual experiences and spatial design. And it's all combined to improve the effectiveness and the engagement of the user. Immersive learning technology is driven by the principles of Industry 4.0. Now, I'm learning. We are all learning. We're moving into this space with great caution, but understanding that it's a new technology that we need to adjust to, adapt to, in order to implement. Last week, we had an industry panel here, a forum of experts who talked to us a little bit about the Industry 4.0 concept. And we thought it would be important for us, our faculty, our staff, to understand the high-level concepts and principles for Industry 4.0 so that we can then move with comfort in the learning environment. So what we learned is that Industry 4.0 is the fourth industrial revolution, and you probably already know this. But we learned that it's characterized by the integration of digital technology. We learned that Industry 4.0 refers to advanced and big data analytics. As a matter of fact, one of the industry reps just said data. When he thinks about Industry 4.0, he thinks about data, and data driving all mechanism practices and processes. Industry 4.0, again, is that artificial intelligence that we referenced. Industry 4.0 is characterized by cyber physical systems, all things internet, cloud computing, and smart and additive manufacturing. We see the integration of these technologies across the curriculum, not just in my area, which is the workforce area, and manufacturing in specific, to be specific, but we'll see the integration of Industry 4.0 principles across the curriculum, which is very refreshing. The goal of Industry 4.0 is to create a more connected, efficient, and flexible ecosystem that leads to increased productivity. It helps to reduce costs and the ability to respond quickly to changes in the market. So this is what we have learned about Industry 4.0, and this is where we are beginning our deeper dive so that we can, again, better understand it so we can better implement it. So when we look at the collaborative roles between educational institutions and industry, we find that Industry 4.0 demands a collaboration between industry and education partners for obvious reasons. And we're training our students as a future workforce. The industry partners want to recognize that this pipeline is being prepared for the kind of environment they'll be introduced to. And at Daytona State College, we'll be delivering that workforce and that pipeline. Educators play a pivotal role in preparing the future workforce, and together the industry partners benefit from a skilled workforce, and then together we contribute to a sustainable, industrial, thriving workforce ecosystem. One of the quotes that an industry partner left us with last week was that data gives the young person or the new hire a voice in the manufacturing process. He argued that armed with the ability to collect data and what to do with it when you have it is a critical skill that needs to be part of the next generation workforce. So again, we'll embed these concepts in our presentations to our students, give them the opportunity to engage, give them the opportunity to become part of the decision and problem solvers, and understand that this is a role that they are preparing themselves to play as we move forward. So we are transforming, or if you will, transporting this concept into an area that we find is quite competitive. So we're talking about welding today, and this is where we have given most evidence of this virtual application in our welding program. So why welding? Well, we're in the game because, as you can see, this is a growing industry. The wages are competitive, and the opportunities are pervasive for our students. And right here in Volusia County, within a 35-mile radius, we have about 113 openings as of yesterday in the various areas of weld technology. So just want to give you some perspective of what we do first on the ground here in the welding program, and then we'll move you into the virtual environment so that you can kind of see the relationship between what we're teaching in the class and how we enhance that by using the virtual application. So in this area, again, we help our students to understand the pathways, and you have at least 21 job types that are associated with the welding industry, at least 21, there are more, but at least 21 highly visible job types, and then at least 12 industry sectors that engage and invite welders. So our students, when coming out of this pipeline, have tremendous opportunity for employment and for continued upskilling. So this is an area where we have begun to overlay the virtual influence. So with that, I'm gonna invite Stephen to just come up and very briefly share with you what we do in the program, so that as you're doing your virtual, having your virtual experience, you'll understand what you're making, what you're molding, and what you're welding.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Where did you get the data on the median income?
From, let me go back to, now bear with me on going backwards. Go forward.
There you go.
Indeed.com, on the local data came from Indeed.com, and the national data came from, let me just check that again. It's on the app. Oh, there it is. Go back.
There.
Okay, it came from the American Welding Society.
I'd like to interview a couple of those people that work for that, because that's not what it costs around here.
Well, okay, well, please help us understand what the reality looks like. Because that's the national average, but that's not the local average. The local average, when I looked that up on Indeed.com, and I went back to compare what the local wages looked like, it was about $2.75 less. So a welder would start here at about $21.95 or something like that.
I guess I'm looking in the wrong place because it costs more than that.
Okay, well, yep. we can certainly continue to dig deep. Maybe Steve could help us. Maybe you know. Okay. Feel free, Steve. Jump in.
Oh, you know, the context. We've got, you know, Waste Pro is frequently a place that I send beginning welders. You know, green welders go out there. Some of them love it, and they stick around there. Some are destined for greater things, you know, Boilermakers Union, nuclear welding. So that is one thing that's a huge spread. I guess I'll just jump over here. And you know, that's kind of my outlook on running the class. I cannot predict where any one student is going to end up. So I try to give a great overall view of the different manual and semi-automatic processes that we can do. So as this slide says, we pretty much do anything semi-automatic and manual. So we start the year off with oxyacetylene welding, and it's on its way out, but I don't think it's ever going to go away completely. So we spend a little bit of time on that. It forces students to slow down. They got to look at the puddle. They have the hand-eye coordination. They got to be able to swirl and dip, and that's a great introduction to welding. They work as groups, and then we very rapidly get into shielded metal arc welding or stick welding. And I wanted to take a quick opportunity to give you a little bit of the reality before Denny shows you the virtual world, talking about costs and productivity. If I want to give my student a T-joint to weld, this is mill finished steel, so it's this blue is mill scale. You have to physically remove that before you weld. So you're gonna clean that up. That takes anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes, depending on what's going on in the shop. We've got to tack the T-joint up. You know, we've got to cut the metal first, then we tack our T-joint up, then finally, we're able to actually weld it together. So it's kind of a three-step process. We don't really think of it that way as we go from our day-to-day, but that's really what it takes to get there. Now, current prices, this one piece of steel to make that one T-joint, it's about $2 right now. It's gone up about 150% in the last 3 years. So costs are definitely, I'm always looking for ways to utilize scrap. We have a lot of industry partners that help us out with that. But getting back to our classes, after we're done with stick, we have an opportunity to certify students. I just recently became a certified welding inspector, and we are going for our accredited testing facility through the AWS, so we can start in-house certification, and we'll be able to certify outside industry partners as well as we, you know, get into that industry a little bit more. We get into MIG, so wire fed, that's what would be considered a semi-automatic process, and that's currently what we're in now. That's what you all will be trying out, trustees, on our virtual welding experience. We do a little bit of pipe welding. We have an advanced class as well that does a lot more advanced fabrication, a lot more aluminum, that more high dollar stuff. The things we're talking about cost $100 an hour versus $20 an hour. At that point, we take our break, we get back, we come into dual shield MIG, and we end with hardwire MIG. Then we get into TIG welding. That aerospace, high dollar alloys, Inconel, Molnel, all those kind of things. We do a lot of stainless, we do a lot of aluminum, especially in Florida with the boat building industries and everything we have around here. They like aluminum. You know, we try to give our students, like you said, a nice overall idea of welding, and then they can take it as far as they want to at that point. As I spoke on the advanced welding, a lot of steel pipe. We've had students go from our class directly to advanced or out into the workforce. I've had students go to Puerto Rico fixing cranes after the hurricanes, you know, oil rigs. The world is pretty much your oyster after 30 weeks of school. You know, you may not jump in and go right to nuclear welding, but you're on that path if that's the path you want to take. So I think we have a really robust program. When I started, I was the second instructor, and I'm the assistant chair now. I'm going on my 8th year. And we have 4 classes going, and we're expanding to 2 more. So the industry needs more welders. The workforce is aging, and they're looking for new people to get in there. And so it's the perfect time to learn how to weld and go out there and start making money. So quick opportunity. Anybody have any questions for me? OK, I would like to introduce Dr. Nadia Flanagan. She's the coordinator for the Job Growth 2.5 workforce expansion grant. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. As Stephen said, I am Nadia Flanagan. I am the project coordinator of the Job Growth 2.5 Workforce Expansion Grant. I'd like to talk about the experiences that we have had with using virtual reality technology to assist with student engagement. We have attended numerous outreach events at middle schools and high schools throughout Volusia and Tribal County over the past few months. And our Miller Augmented Arc Reality Welding System has been very popular among students. We call it the Miller for short. So the Miller allows students to experience welding in a virtual environment. So similar to how a real welder would wear a helmet and weld using a MIG gun, students are able to wear a helmet and use a MIG welding simulator gun to virtually weld. At many of the schools, students and even a few teachers waited in line to have their chance to experience virtual welding. The pictures on this slide were taken of our virtual lab coordinator, Demi Hansen, here with students at some of the schools. And the picture on the bottom left here was taken at Buddy Taylor Middle School and was featured in the Palm Coast Observer this past November. One point that I really want to emphasize is that virtual welding is not a separate program or separate course, and we're not in any way trying to replace welding, that's impossible. But virtual welding is really meant to be used simply as a tool to engage students and to spark interest and excitement about welding. So students who may be unfamiliar with welding or who may not have considered welding as something for them to do, they have a chance, they're introduced to welding for the first time in a safe, virtual environment. And after students have completed a virtual weld, an assessment report is generated immediately afterwards and they receive feedback on their performance, such as on their speed, their accuracy, and their angle. We found that students like to compete with their friends to see who can earn the highest scores. And from an educational standpoint, students who continue to practice can begin to develop muscle memory so that when they start real welding, they're not having to relearn the skills that they have already developed through virtual welding. Virtual welding is also cost effective because you're saving money on consumables like metal, and you're experiencing less equipment breakages. And it's estimated that companies can save up to $2,000 per person by training them first virtually before they begin actual welding. Virtual welding can also help reinforce concepts that students learn in the classroom and use as a remediation tool for those who may need additional instruction. Seen here are pictures of the advanced manufacturing classroom on the ATC campus and our virtual welding lab on the New Smyrna Beach campus. In the advanced manufacturing classroom, there are two of the Miller welding systems, and our virtual welding lab is not open quite yet, so we plan to hopefully have everything completed by the end of this semester, so just wait for the announcement. We're excited about it. So in our virtual welding lab, we don't have the Millers in there, but we have the RealityWorks Guide Weld virtual reality welding simulators, which are the ones that you see here over here along the wall. And Sparky, our welding mannequin, will be kept in our virtual welding lab and usefully demonstrate the appropriate attire for welders. So Sparky is wearing a helmet, the welder's jacket, the gloves, and the steel-toe boots. Now I'd like to introduce Dr. Jenny Henson, who is our virtual welding lab coordinator.
Hello, my name is Denny Henson, and I'm coordinator too. I'd like to go over some of the components of our GuideWeld virtual welding system. Of course, the workstation is seen here. We have three welding joints. Those are the T joints, the lap joints, and the butt joints. We'll use the T joint for our demonstration here. So now I'd like for the trustees to stand and come in this area for me to do the demo.
There's room for you too.
Oh, I get to play too?
Yeah.
Oh,
I was afraid I was crowded, so I didn't know if I was going to get to play.
Come on, demo on this machine.
This ought to be real fun.
So as I start the demo, of course, I have to put on my safety glasses and my gloves to make sure I'm staying safe here. My demo will be done in practice mode, and when I'm in practice mode, I'm working on my work angle, my speed, my travel angle, my novice, and my nozzle plate, and that's just my distance from the gun. So here, once I'm done with practice mode, if I get, I got two left?
Yeah.
If I score a 50 or better in practice mode, then I'll be allowed to move over to testing. So they are our guide. Well, we're new. We started kind of on our Miller system that you saw us out at our career courses, so these are gonna be a little bit jumpy. So the first thing I do when I pick it up, I'm gonna have to tap both sides. So that's where the computer can recognize. So I'm in practice mode here. No, I just don't like it. Let me try one of the other machines. For some reason, that one's not working. So I think this one's recognizing the machine. So I have to tack it on the left side. So now it's recognizing the machine's working. I tap to the left. I have to recognize the machine working. So once I start working, you'll see the plus sign will tell me I need to speed up. The minus sign will tell me I need to slow down. And the yellow line will help me on my straightness. Right, so you'll see those signs come up when I start. Of course, I think I'm up too well now. So as the nozzle becomes green, then I know I'm at the right distance. So as the second box pops up, I know I've done enough welding to be graded. Steve's gonna laugh about this grade, but there's my grade. And because I'm on the novice, the simplest level, I got an 82. But if it was on the true level, no, I'd probably have a lot less. So each student has immediate feedback of what's going on. And actually, it's video, so if I wanted to have a replay on what I actually did, it's there for a welding instructor to, you know, do more teaching and simulation.
Kelly, you'll make ESPN's top 10.
So what I want each of the trustees to do is to grab a seat, you can grab one, and then try to get you guys in practice mode. So make sure you put your glasses and your gloves on for safety. I don't want anyone to get hurt.
So we're gonna try and hook up one of these,
okay,
so they can actually see on
all
the
right
screen.
All right. So I think this one, is it working?
Does the second one work?
And this one working? I'm wondering if
we're
gonna
get some
pictures.
Okay. What's
the arguing class? Got the safety blazer on.
So you pick up, if you can tap both sides for the computer to be able to recognize it. You good?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Just pull your trigger and then get on the left side of your T-joint. Yep, pull your trigger. Yep, it's recognizing it. Go to your right. Good. Yep. I don't know why it's kind of jumpy. These are new. The lighting is not good. So yeah, get closer to it now. See if you can do it. And when your nozzle gets to green, you know, yeah, go left now, you got it.
Go ahead,
yeah, hit the trigger. Yeah, keep going faster. It was messed up. Can you jump on hers when she gets down? Yeah, faster, finish it. Okay, you've done enough to get a score now. So that's set. If you grab your mouse and click on that top box. Right here. Yep, that one. It's going to give you a score. 73%. So Doc, you did enough if you want to score now. So it's okay. You can redo your score. That's 40%. So you can hear. And how it works down here. If you're feeling great about your speed and you think you accomplished that, you can turn those off. It's kind of like your training wheels. Of course, I'm not a drill, so I need that. Turn those off. And you got to tap the left side. Good. Tap your right side. Can you get yours wrong now? 45. So when you get closer, you turn it and turn green. And it's beautiful. Yeah, it's jumping. The lighting is not perfect. Yeah, 45 degree now. There you go. There you go. A little faster. Yeah, a little faster. Good. Yours is working. Can you try this one too? Or is, you did enough to get your score. So it's kind of making it fun, and hopefully they go sign up for the prayer well. Did you get yours at work at all?
No.
Yeah. Yours is not working right. It's not you. If you want to wait and try and get here, good job. Yeah, a little faster with the plus sign. You got this one on? Can you come down and try this? Can you have this one on? Here we got this one. Yeah, practice mode. Yeah. And then tap the left side. Recognize that you got. Yeah. Now that's another thing. Go to your right side. Right side. Tap it. Wow. Now it's right. Now it's only 45. Yeah, no, to the left. Yeah, stay with it. 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 Good. You did enough to get a score for the second box. Pop it up. So you see your score in the bottom box? The top one. So you got 82.
Yeah. Good job, Corey.
So you did enough the top box to get your score. Let's see what you got. 21. Things you got. Thank you guys for the chest.
Thank you.
All right, all right.
Third try. Third try with what?
83. That's my online
40. 40 is 73 and 83.
I'll send you 5.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Excuse
me. So that concludes the demonstration. It gives you an idea of what the students experience when they are introduced to welding and the pathway that they can then follow once we get them excited about this particular skill set. We look at this as an opportunity to introduce our students to the world of workforce, not just welding, because some students will follow a different pathway. But many students are enlightened by the experience because they'll walk away with that aha moment. I didn't know, I didn't realize, I didn't know I could do this. I didn't know I would have an interest in this. So when Denny says the students line up for the experience, they do, teachers, faculty, parents. I've done it as well, walking into the distance with the helmet on, the Oculus, but it's fun. And that's the one experience that everybody leaves with, that it's fun. And then it translates to an actual training experience that then connects our students to programs. So having said that, do you have any questions?
In that example, are you in the real experience, are you adding a metal to it, or is that just flame on the tee and that puts it together?
In the real experience, Stephen?
In the real experience, just like in there, wires coming out, it short circuits on the metal and it melts. So you are joining the two together.
So you're joining the two, you're not adding a third, like another
metal
tube?
No, that would be like TIG welding or oxyacetylene. That's when you're dipping that filler wire in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. That was just my I was curious on how.
He said dip and swirl. I thought he was talking about drinking.
Very good. All right.
Any comments or questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that's, I think the primary, as I explained, use is to get it out to the high schools and introduce it so that students will take the next steps to possibly think about pursuing it. So it's a neat way to, get students introduced to that field, so.
I would assume we have a good placement rate then when we're girls?
I would think placement rate for graduates?
I work with some industry partners, Thompson Pump, Waste Pro, Microflex, Fabco. Those are the four big ones. And then there's, so your path is kind of your own. If you want to go up or go out west and chase pipe, you can do that. You become a helper, and go down that road. But yeah, placement rate is pretty good. As was said, our wages in Volusia County for the welders just seem to be just slightly smaller or lower than some other spots. So I see people, I'm going back up to Pennsylvania, right. Things like that, but they can't take the skill from you that you learn, through our program.
Right.
Tom, can I just say the fastest growing area of interest of donors is scholarships for the workforce right now. We have, in fact, I just talked to Bob Allen this morning, who created a $100,000 endowed scholarship last year for workforce education. He wants to add another $100,000 this year, and I think he's going to continue to do more. So
that's
there are
great.
More and more people that are wanting to do that. They see that as an area
great.
Of interest because people go to work. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you, and
great,
to Chair. That concludes the workshop. All right. Well, we have a little break here before
thank
we start
you,
the meeting,
you.
But thank you very much.